Blog Talk Radio.
Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month with a typical $200,000.
Sorry, guys. Welcome to the Mystical Mother Earth Show, and no, you don't have to pay your mortgage due here. Goldie hit the wrong button. But boy, doesn't that just fit with everything that's kind of going on in Goldie's kooky bird life? Yes, it does. It is Monday night. It is December 5th. Is that correct?
Yeah.
That is correct. I am here with my lovely and divine co-host, Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Thank you. Hello. Hello, everybody. This is a foggy night in New Jersey. And, Scott, and we were just talking about feeling kind of edgy and weird, but we'll talk about that, right?
Definitely. Definitely.
So welcome.
Because I think December isn't just get in touch with your genius month. It's get in touch with your, your frustration and your aggravation as well.
It's like, what are your antennas telling you? Like, be discerning about what you're feeling, because it could be the nervousness out there or the craziness out there.
Right.
What
right.
you ate or drank the night before.
Goldie's got her hand raised for that one, too. We'll definitely get into this. I got a few shout-outs. Both me and Janine have a few shout-outs. First of all, to our beloved Simon. Happy birthday, sweetheart. We absolutely adore and love that you were born on this day. And there are many people out there that don't celebrate their birthdays. But, we celebrate you. Not your birthday, but we celebrate you. And we love you.
Happy birthday,
we also wanna, there you go. We also want to give a shout-out to Michelle.
Hello, Michelle,
we just celebrate you, period. Every day we celebrate you, Michelle. And Polar Bear, there's much love here. Janine sends her love. She might not know you personally, but she trusts me.
and I love the same Polar Bears.
That's right. So there's a connection. There you go.
Yeah.
By essence, you two are clearly connected, even if it's just through me. And also I want to send out a shout-out to the divine Punky Speltz, who is the beautiful woman who helped me the day of when I locked my keys out of the car. She sent me a private note on Facebook. And because, she's just getting to know me, I won't share it live yet. I want to get her permission. If I get her permission, I'll definitely share it next week. But, boy, what a beautiful soul. She was just as excited that I came to her door as I was on the other side of that door that she came to her door. And I can't explain it, but I'm deeply moved by you, Punky. and everybody, I had told this to Punky the day we met. Her name, Punky, is actually what the nickname that my father has called me since, I'm like 2 or 3 years old. And to this day, I'm still his punk-a-monk. I call the kids that I nanny for Punky. So it really was, it was in divine order that day and still is. And, I sent her a link. I hope, I don't know if she's listening tonight, but if she listens to an archive, it doesn't even matter. I just wanted to, send her my love and tell her how deeply moved I am by her presence in my world as well. So that's any other announcements? Do we, you know, we can, you have somebody you want to shout out? You want to shout out to your webmaster?
Sure. Oh, yes. Alan's listening, and thank you so much for today. My web guy really helped me. We had fun moving some nervous energy, but he didn't even know I was feeling that way. Yes, so hello to Alan, and if Lisa's listening, hello, Lisa and Lucy.
There you go. And hi, Lisa. Hi, Lucy.
So yeah, that's it.
Okay, so so me and Janine, you know, what I do is when me and Janine talk during the week, I've been getting smart about this. I've been jotting things down that really have inspired us, aha'd us, or knocked us on our butts. But things that we have, happening within our lives that really seem to be showing up as awarenesses and just showing up as experiences. And, I know for me, there's a lot of, it seems to me that the journey I went on for the last 10 weeks was definitely about infinite trust. And I definitely feel for my experience, that is a foundational conscious awareness that it changes the game. It changes the game because once I have infinite trust down, everything I'm doing, at least so far what I'm experiencing as, doesn't come from a place of fear, but comes from a place of either curiosity, a place of courage. It just changes the game that from this point forward, because what I'm starting to notice now is, and with Janine's help, sufficiency. Okay, that is definitely, it's not only my new initiation art project. Sufficiency is, for me, the next natural step, and I know Michelle's out there resonating with this, and I believe that this is very general, that many of us can resonate with this. So sufficiency, when coming from the space of infinite trust, is profound. Okay, mm-hmm. Now it's profound because, like, ultimately, sufficiency from the state of infinite trust is, I mean, from a simplistic point of view, we do nothing and accomplish everything. Like one of the things I'm starting to kind of get a grasp on, and this is only a kinda, is the idea that because I'm taking actions based on infinite trust and no longer based on my pain body. Now, that's what disappears when you're in infinite trust is the actions and the doing from the pain body. And I really am becoming quite clear how many actions I have been taking based in the pain body. So it's not that I think we should be doing nothing our entire lives in infinite trust, but it's almost like in order to change the palette of colors from the pain body colors to the infinite trust colors, there's a period of time where you really have to do nothing and trust that everything is getting done. I don't want to say for you, because it's actually, it's like surrendering to a more expanded self, because that is, the infinite trust aspect of who I am is way more expanded than the physical consciousness of me, Golden Hawk, mm-hmm. in this body. And, I got the move coming up in February. I'm trying to have a little bundle of cash to go out there with so I can have a couple of months of rent while I, find whatever it is that's going to be working for me. My mind is definitely still thinking, and what's interesting is I keep coming back to, we'll do nothing. And to be honest, I'm going to post some videos. I haven't really posted the Robert Young videos on my wall. But I'll post videos of a gentleman who's very supportive of this do nothing and have everything outlook. And you might resonate with him and you might not. It's your call. But this sufficiency is like, for those of you who follow me on Facebook know that, okay, last night I went across the street to my neighbor and, you know, had conversations with him and his son based on literally living here. I've lived across the street pretty much my whole life. I've had, you know, like 5 years where I left after my mom died. I'd have, you know, a couple of months here, I'd move in with a boyfriend, or I'd have a couple of years here where I moved in on my own. But I have done a significant amount of my life has been spent in this house. And hearing the perspective from my neighbor, who's 60, so he was older than me, kind of watching me grow up, and his son is 30, so he kind of saw it from his perspective. And there we are at the fire, you know, having ourselves a cocktail or two, and I was getting a perspective that was really quite profound. I mean, I can't even, it's hard to explain to you why it was so profound, other than I always saw their house from my window, and here I was on his yard seeing my window from his house. And I know it sounds simple, but changing the perspective changes everything. Everything in subtle, in the language of the subtle. In fact, that is the whole idea of doing nothing and having everything. Just changing a perspective. So now we can apply this to our lives. We can apply this to anything that, you know, we're in a challenge with, something going on, like a health issue, an ability, you know, if we're angry with somebody, some kind of, you know, I got Carolyn Mace now too, Janine, revenge, you know, if we're trying, you know, if we can't let go of a hurt that we've been through. There's so much from the interior aspect of our living that when we shift our perspective, just changes everything. And I just want to say one thing about, shucks, I don't know. You know me with time. I'm going to say about 7 years ago, my brother was dating a girl who was, you know, to be flat out, just a real pain in the ass to me and my family. But, you know, he loved her and he was dating her. And to make a long story short, they had a fight. His car was in the driveway of my parents' house, and the windshield got smashed, and they keyed up the side of the car and wrote really bad words, and I mean, somebody came and messed up my brother's car. My brother had the notion it was the 30-year-old across the street that had done it, and me, being the little warrior who's not afraid of confrontation, literally just went next door, knocked on the door, went into his house, and just started blatantly accusing. His name is Logan. Blatantly accusing Logan of doing it. Now, I'll be honest with you. When I was there last night, I did not remember this until Logan brought it up. And when Logan brought it up, and we were talking, and he was stating to me clearly that he did not do what I had accused him of doing. In fact, he gave me several reasons that were not only reasonable and rational reasons why he didn't. Like, he drives muscle cars, and people who drive muscle cars don't tend to bust up other people's cars, because cars are, you know, they have names, and, you know, they become their own kind of extension of their being. And some other personal reasons I'm not going to share on the air, why he would not have done anything violent to my brother's car, because he also said, I didn't even know your brother. Like, you know, I didn't understand why you came and said that. But he never did anything and kept asking me, does your father hate me because of that situation? And I was like, no. So I immediately apologized several times and really felt that part of the reason why I was there to see my life from that perspective, Janine helped me see this today as well, was that there was like this loose end from a soul point of view that, you know, these beautiful beings, all they were worried about was how we were thinking about them. And, like, to be quite honest, I was a bully. I mean, I went over there and just, I mean, just accused him of doing this. You know, it was a very interesting thing because the alcohol, I mean, I'm very transparent anyways. I'll tell people the truth. I don't care. But the alcohol was just flowing. I mean, we were all just kind of babbling truth. And what was so interesting is when I came home, I mean, I came home last night. This morning, my brother slept over last night. This morning when I saw him before he went to work, I told him about, you know, I was next door and, you know, he didn't mess up your car. And my brother couldn't even see beyond his own fear because he was like, of course he did. I went, no, he didn't. Because I happen to know I have an excellent judge of, I have a bullshit meter in me. And I can't tell when people, I can't tell what the truth is that they're hiding, but I can feel it always when people are lying to me. And I'll be quite honest, there are people that lie to me all the time, and I don't say anything because I've reached the point in my life, I don't need to call people out on every lie. But I can feel it. It's just, it's part of being acutely aware of the subtle. You can feel when people are lying to you. Anyways, I know this gentleman was not lying. And for my brother to respond the way he did kind of triggered me today. Not kind of, it did. And what I want to talk about is I've been triggered in two ways. A, I drank last night. I haven't drank in about a year and a half. And me and Janine were talking that alcohol is definitely a depressant. And as much as December is a month for us to get to know our genius, December is also a month where, at least in, you know, the United States, you know, everybody's kind of going crazy, hog wild, in the sense of they're going shopping for things they can't afford. They're standing in lines with babies who are tired. And, you know, it's like there's still solar flare activity. There's still, you know, earthquakes and volcanoes, you know, and America is, you know, kind of just with the wool over their eyes going, but it's Christmas time. You know, we must get out and buy and shop and, you know, hold up the pretense that we're all okay, even though, you know, everything is just, you know, acutely a mess around everything. It's also very dark around here, and, you know, God bless Simon. He lives in Norway, so it's dark around him for months at a time. In America, the month of December is actually the darkest month of the year, so there's just a lot of there's a lot of darkness, to be quite honest, that, you know, if you're not doing it, you know, specifically for four months at a go, it's almost like you don't get as skilled at knowing how to navigate in the dark. So the dark ends up becoming repressed and oppressed, mm-hmm. as opposed to expressed and mm-hmm. honestly transparent and looked at. So I know I've shared a lot with you, but I really want to let you guys know that December's a challenging month. I am finding I'm very frustrated today. I got an edge about me. I definitely got an edge about me. but I think it's important to look at things because, you know, let's look at it not from a judgmental space, but from a space of are we aware, you know, of what's happening and what the choices we're making, because it's important to be aware of those things. Mm-hmm. So, because the ultimate hero in all of our storylines is ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, it's I don't care if the rest of the country wants to go out and shop and spend and stand in line and be in stores, but I want to be aware that in mass consciousness is doing that. It's much easier that when something happens to me, like I bought a solar charger recently, and it arrived today, like little solar panels and to mm-hmm. charge my MP3 player. If the electricity goes out, I can still listen to, you know, my George talks or my music. And I don't know how to work this stupid thing. You know, I've been kind of asking for help all day. But what I notice is I can fall into frustration, a frustration that is much deeper in experience than mm-hmm. than I normally have. I mean, I'm just clearly aware that today, my frustration level is deeper than normal. And there's two things. So it's mass consciousness and I have alcohol in me, which just makes bouncing back, you know, for the day anyways, a little more challenging. And so a lot of us, you know, I'm not saying stop drinking. I'm just telling you, be conscious that when you drink the next day, you know, if you're feeling frustrated, again, you know, just kind of own it. Own it as opposed to, you know, all, you know, and you're going, well, you're not owning it. You're blaming it on mass consciousness. No, I am frustrated today and more so than normal. And I'm acknowledging what I did. And so, you know, unfortunately, I'm on the air and you guys got to hear me being a little grumpy. So now I'll let Janine talk.
Well, you know, it's funny because I was telling Goldie before that, you know, I don't drink much, but both my son, my oldest son and I both have that same reaction where it's a noticeable combination of edginess and depression, you know, slightly, but that you definitely feel
right,
next,
right.
You feel the next day and you sort of just could almost say, oh, I'm a little off today or I'm a little bit more sensitive or, you know, there's just, I don't feel on my game or whatever that, you know, it's like. So, I can completely relate to that. And you could almost, like until I said that to Golden Hawk earlier, you could almost forget that that could be one of the contributing reasons that,
right.
You know, there are other reasons going on, but that adds to it. So it's just a good noticing if you're trying to stay centered and you go, okay, so, you know, drinking will definitely kind of help you get off center if you drink a little too much or whatever. But, you know, it's funny because I was listening to you before and I was noticing such a great word, but I was saying, wow, it's so great that the name of the show is the Mystical Mother Earth Show, because it's such a, that's a deep feminine, you know, quality, you know, that's pervasive in all of us. And one of the qualities of the deep feminine nature is the ability to do nothing and wait, and also to notice the subtle. And I was just, and it's a great, the deep feminine nature really is, you know, one of those wells you want to go down in, because it's a very rich place, and it's kind of the energy that's needed right now. So when I was listening to Golden Hawk, I was like, yeah, because that really is, that's what we all need right now, is that deep feminine nature that can handle being in the dark, you know, less sunlight. They can handle that period.
Right.
It can also handle the waiting and the nothing. Very good at that. Also, and without, like, almost a natural state. And then the subtle, just to notice the subtle. And then, you know, and it's funny because then I listened and then the next place I went to listening to you was that there's the environment outside and there's the internal. And I'm thinking, you know, another awareness, a subtle awareness. But, and this is also like, you know, you're like your own barometer, your own antenna or your own subtle detector. Whereas, you know, to notice the external things happening, but then there's you internal, your internal environment, and you know that's the place where the trust is, as we were talking earlier this week, trust and sufficiency are an inside job. They are within, they're within you. So the internal environment is really like where, you know, I guess I'm going, go there, you know, because, and that is where the deep feminine nature is. So you know, it's just that place where you can hold a center and really, you know, get a read on yourself. For instance, I was edgy this morning as well. And you know, I couldn't really put my finger on it, but I told Golden Hawk, and it was just like, it's just sort of like noticing. And then I was kind of on sharing my laptop screen with my web guy, Alan, and he started really freshening up and playing and putting all this, my new art, on my website. And, you know, I could feel my website almost becoming, I don't know, like more alive again. You know, maybe it's, and then he would go from one thing to another, and then I would notice something, and then I would, you know, we did something with my initiation art, and we put these beautiful forests that I did, and he asked me to name them, and naming them was fun, and, you know, it's like the shimmering forest that lives inside you. That's literally what I named the homepage forest. And I have to tell you, I didn't notice it at the time, but about 2 hours later, I had no feeling of weirdness or edginess. And almost you could say that, you know, it was like there was energy inside me, and I was like, yeah. And then by being creative, and this today was nice. It was working with a partner. You know, a lot of times I work solo, and you can move energy that way too, and you can literally not know that the time went by, and you're like, ah, I feel better. And it's just you've moved some energy. And right. Today it was with Alan, and it was great because it was fun to do it in a partnership, and we really got a lot done, and it was like very, I don't know, it was very gratifying. And one of the things that was incredible was we were working with a lot of bright colors, and you know, I was just having so much fun with the color. And so that really was just a noticing that I made about, you know, 2 hours ago. I was like, whoa, that edginess, it's gone. So, you know, it was just a good noticing, and definitely wanted to share it with you guys that I do know that being creative, you know, collaborating, and another thing like expressing, like Michelle did with me today, when you express, like, you know, words or in a dialogue, a lot of times you'll notice that the energy shifts as well because you've literally, like, moved energy. And what I find real interesting about, like, this morning when I was feeling what I was feeling, there's almost this part of you or me that kind of already, it's like already knows that you're going to be doing something, and it's like you're almost like in the future already, and it's like you're sensing, you're sensing an expression coming, or you're sensing a dialogue coming, or you're sensing, oh, I'm going to do something creative. And it's like, because looking, it's not like I know it then, but when I look back, I go, oh, it's almost like I already knew. And that's just something else you can get maybe, you know, even a little bit better at reading, although I don't think we need to know everything. I think it's fun to sort of, you know, oh, I feel edgy, and then, you know, you get creative, and next thing you know, you're like, oh, I feel better. Or,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, I mean.
Well, because I think it's important to stay in the moment. You know, the idea of, you know, planning things, you know.
No,
you know.
Well, yeah, you can't plan it, but, like, well, you can almost, it almost becomes a little bit of, like, you can predict it. It's like, okay, something's coming, I'm not sure what. And then you may have an amazing dialogue with someone. And it's as if you're,
right.
It's as if part of you already knew that you would be having this dialogue.
Yes.
Yeah. And it just reminds me now that we're speaking, you and I over the last week, we also, there's an expression that we both love, but there was a few incidences where I think Golden Hawk and I went a little bit supernova together on the phone, and Michelle was part of that, where we just had the most uncanny synchronicity, and it was so amazing that we just felt, like I said to Golden Hawk, okay, are you ready to explode? and I do think that that's almost like, your circuits get so lit up like a board, you know, like that, like a circuit board where all the lights are going. Maybe for the next few days, your body's like, whoa, you know, because we literally did say, God, it was as if we went supernova, you know. And so that could have something to do with it, where you get very heightened, you know.
Well, and what happens is, you know, in that heightened state, at least from my experience, mm-hmm. infinite trust, sufficiency. I mean, I'm checking back here. I mean, yesterday when I woke up, I literally posted, and it's because I knew this. I'm interested in doing two things on this planet right now. Anything that's impossible and living the paradox. I mean, that is literally my goal for myself right now. It's not to prove the impossible. It's to be the impossible. Because there is an excellence inside me that knows, don't settle for the conditioned limitation. Like, you know, it's interesting. Me, Simon, and Michelle have been journeying where we, you know, literally from the computer get together and just set in motion that we're all going to blend our energies and our intentions and see what manifests. And there are significant effects that are going on and taking place when we do this. And one of the things I had wrote was, you know, we did it on Saturday, the three of us, and I was like, hey, next Saturday is, you know, the full moon. We should definitely do it on the full moon. And, you know, Michelle wrote to me today, you know, or yesterday, do we have to wait till the full moon? You know, maybe we can do it before. And I was like, right. See, now there is a limitation that, oh, we can only do this on the days astrologically are in alignment. And it's like, and I know that sounds simple, but it's exactly what I caught myself. It's like, okay, so I'm becoming aware of that was a limited statement. And, you know, hell to the no. Hell yeah, we can I'm open for doing this tonight, tomorrow during the day. I mean, whenever people want to journey, I'm very interested in journeying, because what Janine was saying is, for me, I move the energy. I mean, I feel so fantastic when I play in my imagination. And imagination to me is not the pretend world. It is another dimension that I tap into and I experience. And I can't explain to you why it feels so good to my physical being as well as my body and my mind, but I love it. I mean, I just love playing. And I think part of it is because, you know, I can remember when in the late 90s when I was in college for the early childhood degree, there were all my early childhood classes, we would have to create these, you know, games or, you know, something imaginative. You'd have to use, you know, art and skills to do certain projects. And, I mean, I literally remember saying to one of my classmates, I don't think I have creativity. Because I remember being told I didn't have art skills and I didn't have music skills. You know, in elementary school, I was told both of those things. You know, and I owned that for a very long time, and I don't own that anymore. I really, it's almost like I'm reliving the childhood that was not, you know, the condition took the childhood away. And listen, this is all under contract. I'm not a victim of this. I get it. I didn't live it as a child, but it has nothing to do with that you have to be 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 years old in order to have an active imagination. We are active imaginations. That is the multidimensional aspect of who we are, and I'm tapping into it. I love it. Now, and it's so funny, because one of the things Logan, which is very interesting from last night from across the street, Logan is affiliated with people in my hometown that do the paranormal investigating. And he's like, listen, you know, they went to an insane asylum. They do cemeteries. You know, they're little ghost busting kind of. And you know, I don't really see paranormal stuff. I mean, I do, but I'm almost like I'm really contemplating, you know, maybe taking one of these trips. And I get it that, you know, boy, I could be opening Pandora's box here in more ways. But on the same note, it's almost like I want to feel the waters, because I am very confident now in my journeying where I go that I'm safe and that I can handle this. But I'm kind of like, you know, I mean, this is just Goldie being Goldie, but I'm kind of like going, well, I want to kind of play with the spirit, A, to either see if I have, because I believe I have the potential of helping them cross over, you know, kind of like the ghost whisperer kind of thing. Because I don't think spirits really, if they had a choice, I don't think a spirit in an insane asylum wants to be eternally stuck in a building in the third dimension. You know, my gut tells me that, you know, it got disconnected and it doesn't know how to integrate. But maybe, you know, and again, I don't know if I'm just, you know, kind of too confident for my own good, but I'm feeling that I am doing integration work and that I could potentially help. Again, this is not my natural born skill. Like, you know, I watch the show The Medium and Ghost Whisperer, and they're born with this ability that they can see and hear. I can sense things, but I don't necessarily see or hear. But my whole point is that, see, this is, okay, so I have infinite trust, and now sufficiency is coming in, and I don't know, I'm just getting drawn to do this, but I still need time to think on this, because I'll be honest with you, I'm also, some fear is coming up as well, like, you know, the last thing I really need is, you know, basically a temper tantrum spirit, you know, kind of piggybacking, you know, coming home and, you know, shit starts hitting the fan all over my house, you know. But that's one outcome. There is also the outcome that potentially, you know, tremendous liberation can happen as well. And I don't know if I'm, you know, made for, I don't know if I'm cut from that stone, but I do know that I'm willing to find out. So I have a feeling it's coming up for me. It's coming up. We'll see how that goes. And clearly, you know, as you guys listen, I'll keep you informed.
Well, yeah, I mean, but that, you know, that could be, if it's work you're drawn to, because on this plane, what we do is share, and you've been doing this for a long time on the radio, and I'm doing it elsewhere, but it's also, you're also self-liberating, but you're also sharing and helping others liberate as well. And it would just make sense. It just makes sense to me that that you would be interested in looking to liberate on that plane as well.
And, right on, babe. Thank you.
And,
thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, and also, you know, oh, this is great, because I remember. Then I would say, you know, because this would be the question, okay, so you're asking yourself those questions and maybe you're feeling somewhat fearful, which is good and truthful, but then I would say, who's asking the question, I am sufficient or I am not sufficient? Or another way of that would be the voice that is, I am enough, or the voice that I'm not enough, because, you know, a lot of times when we go into fear and self-doubt, it's because we're coming from a place of insufficiency. I mean, not
right
always.
On. Right.
Not
no,
always,
but
it's
mostly,
a very good...
Mostly.
No,
yeah.
But it's because I would sincerely doubt that you would be in any jeopardy at all to be in contact and help with that on that plane. I really, you know, so, you know, you just might be feeling vulnerable today, or, you know, a little unsure just because of the, you know, the vibe today,
Right. Well, and I clearly wouldn't drink alcohol the day before I go.
right, because you do want to be in your sense, you know. But I do think that when, it's a really good, I mean, this is, it's like we were asking ourselves, like, you know, if there was a period of time where, like, what I love what you're saying is, there's a period of time where we're almost going into the, I'm going to do little or nothing, which, of course, is always laughable to me, because we're never really doing little or nothing, because when we're internally processing or whatever, that's incredible work. But, you know, it's just a good question to know what aspect of ourselves is asking the question or is feeling worried.
Right on. Right on.
Yeah. So that's a good...
No, keep going.
Yeah. No,
well,
no,
is it
good,
who is it? Insufficiency, or is it?
Yeah, the voice of
sufficiency. I mean, I guess for lack of a,
you know, right. No, sufficiency is I am enough, and insufficiency is I'm not enough. And usually, I mean, when you're in your sufficiency, you're just right there. You know, your trust is on, your confidence,
right.
And it's subtle though, which is really beautiful. This is not, you know, this is not the extroverted state. This is just an incredible internal sufficiency. And
right.
So it's just like for the month of December, maybe that's another thing that, you know, it's just a good month because it's so exaggerated out there right now. It's actually when things are exaggerated, it's a really good time to sort of experiment because you can get a better idea of like, okay, you know, I'm going to pull in, I'm going to be internal, I'm going to practice doing nothing, I'm going to practice noticing what voice is speaking or asking the questions, the sufficiency or insufficiency. It's just kind of like the bear that, you know, okay, so this is perfect too because it's like the bear goes into their cave, you know, towards the winter when the dark comes. You know, so we could be bears for December and we'll be genius bears, by the way. And, you know, we'll go into our cave and, you know, we'll be in our sufficiency and we'll be quiet and we'll notice the internal and the external.
Definitely. I believe that, you know, following the sync of nature, I mean, the trees go to sleep and when it can start, you know, the light gets less.
Yeah, they go. Everything goes inward.
Well, and that's what it is, because that's what I'm learning. You know, sleep is not about going unconscious. Sleep is about going inward.
Yeah.
Now, drinking to oblivion, that's going unconscious. Because I also want you to know, when you pass out from drinking or drugging, okay, that's unconscious. But because,
flatlining.
My whole life I have been, what?
No, I was going, that's called flatlining.
Flatlining is actually ultimately the in as well, though, isn't it? Right? I mean, but it's in, out, then you're done with the body. So I guess there's really no in left.
It's funny though they'll call and I do think, you know, like the old myths of Dionysus. But you know, they used to call alcohol like raising the spirits. You know. Right.
They call it spirits to this day. I mean, right.
But they don't tell you that the next day it's the lowering of the spirit.
Well, then you go into the underworld. Exactly. Exactly. First you're flying high, and boy, the letdown. I mean, because we were talking about this tonight on the phone. You know, it's a depressant. You know, it's not really a surprise that I'm feeling a little depressed after drinking. I mean, and, you know, to be honest, that's kind of the part that, again, it's just an awareness where, you know, I mean, by choice, I prefer to be, you know, kind of on my game for the radio show nights. But then reality trumps all me wanting to play any part. You know, I mean, the trump is that life is what it is. And, you know, I drank last night and no regrets last night, no regrets today. But But that awareness is really, you know, it's so healthy to be able to look at everything for what it is without, you know, without the fear of acknowledging that, you know, listen, this is a dualistic space we're in. We're in the dimension of polarity. We can't expect to, you know, only be centered all the time because it's the goal, but it's not the realistic aspect of this particular duality. When we hit the fifth dimension, then we'll be balanced. You know, until that point, you know, I think that's where the sense of humor comes in and the lightheartedness comes in so that when we do get depressed, you know, there's still, you know, like for me, I napped twice today. You know, I didn't nap once. I napped twice. And I laughed because I went, all right, well, either, you know, I mean, for me, I love sleep. I have loved sleep since I was a kid. One of the perks about being a nanny for little babies is, you know, they sleep several times a day, and I used to love it. They'd go down for a nap. I'd grab a quick cat nap, too. I've never been one that has felt guilty for sleeping, because even as a kid, when kids grew out of their naps, I never grew out of napping. I've always enjoyed sleeping, and for me, I kind of understand it as, you know, this was,
I've not always been so comfortable being in this dimension. And mm-hmm. for me, sleep was definitely a place, and it's not that I didn't have my chasing dreams and, you know, I got shot point blank in the head in a dream, and I had my nightmares and my night terrors. But the average, on the whole, for me, sleep was my escape, where I just felt comfortable in the land of dreams more than I felt comfortable in the land of what we now term being awake in the third dimension. That is not my truth anymore. I am definitely finding the joys of being awake in the third dimension, but I'm just not a person that ever... my belief system... is very supportive of sleep. Sleep heals, sleep rests, sleep allows your soul to play. Sleep, man, sleep is just, you know, it does a body good, it does a soul good, it does a mind good. I mean, that,
yeah,
for
yeah.
me.
And it does the central nervous system good. You know,
yeah.
I agree. I think sleep is, I think good sleep is very good, and naps are great. I do. I think
naps are phenomenal. And
calming.
The dreaming that usually happens in naps that doesn't, because, you know, like I used to have this job, one of the first nannying babies that the jobs I ever took. And when you're nannying, you know, I mean, I didn't go into drool sleep where I'm drooling and, you know, if the baby cries, I don't hear him. I get it that, you know, I'm in somebody else's house. I'm watching their baby. And so it's almost like I literally kept a limit on how deep I would go. But because I kept that limit, there was definitely a mix of lucidity where I would call, you know, it would be the, you know, Mikey's couch, man. Boy, the dream state that I would have over there was just wild. It, you know, and I would remember them a lot because I wasn't, it was almost like I'd just go into REM, you know, recharge the batteries, you know, 20 minutes, 40 minutes, and then wake up and be like, whoa, you know, wherever I just went, that was wild. Mm. And it would be, you know, I wish I could remember now, but I can't remember enough to, you know, quote the dream. So, but it was, my whole point is I know a lot of people that consider sleep, you know, that you're just being lazy or only depressed people sleep. And, you know, oh, come on. You can't generalize the statement like that. Sleep is nourishing if you choose to look at it that way. And you know, I do. So
yeah, I do.
So there. You know, take your sleep amnesia out of my way. I'm joking.
Hey, you know, it's funny. You know how you said the two things that are most important to you, which did you write them down yesterday? Did you say one was the impossible?
Oh, about the paradoxal and the impossible?
Yeah, because just about 2 hours before the show, Friday I did this work, this really incredible short story workshop for kids from first grade to fifth grade at a school, and and there were 37 kids. It was really, you know, really great, and I wrote a thank you to them. It's so funny because I just said thank you to the 37 students. You asked amazing questions. You made enchanted original doorways to mysterious inventive lands of all kinds. I was so honored and delighted to share my work with you. Keep your imagination going, growing, and knowing anything is possible.
Nice.
And then you said something about, you know, pushing the impossible or knowing.
I'm only interested if it's impossible. I am.
Yeah.
I truly
yeah.
am.
No, so I love that, you know, because that to me is it's just the world of like invention. But, you know, invention to me means so much more than like apparatuses. It's
exactly.
concepts, it's ideas, it's
well,
new
original
landscape.
Thought. It's original.
Yeah, this expanding landscape. That's how I always, and I think, and it's all internal, but, you know, so I'm very captured by that as well, you know.
Nice.
And
I know
yeah.
you are. And, well, and I think anyone who's consciously ascending,
mm-hmm.
if you're not embracing mm-hmm. the, you know, the boundaries of infinity versus, you know, something that's finite, and then I would invite you to you know, invest your time in those concepts, because the ascension is, you know, I know a lot of people believe that, you know, the ascension is just, you know, we're going to all be in this loving space, you know, and the technology is going to improve. And that is not how I see the ascension. I mean, I see the ascension as a complete metamorphosis from, you know, everything. And remember, so, you know, the caterpillar to the butterfly, when the caterpillar is in the pupa state, it literally goes to the point where it's basically, it's neither caterpillar nor butterfly. I mean, it's just this chemical goo in, mm-hmm. you know, in that certain, so in other words, this isn't just about us, you know, occupying Wall Street around the world and, you know, all of a sudden the money's, you know, like I just posted a video on my wall, this marching band kind of thing, playing, marching to the saints of, I can't think today. Anyways, they were playing for cows, you know, like they were on the road.
Oh, yeah.
And the cows showed up and, you know, I'm watching this and I can't help from a sensitive point of view go, boy, the cow, has there ever been such a mistreated, ungracious animal from the human perspective? And I know they honor them in India.
Right.
And it's like the polar opposite. It's like in India they're starving and there's cows walking all over the place. And in America, you know, we're starving here too, but, you know, and we're slaughtering them. And I just couldn't help but go, well, isn't it about time that humanity found its place to entertain the animals, you know, instead of having, you know, the elephants going on, you know, their trunks upside down in a circus, or, you know, the tiger is jumping through hoops of fire? Because, I mean, to me personally, it nauseates me to see how we don't get that these are sentient beings. I mean, of course, I'm at the point where I'm clear that trees are sentient beings, and, you know, it's just so the ascension is not about, you know, what a lot of people, you know, this whole Galactic Federation of Light is painting the ascension to be, which is, you know, oh, we all love and there's no more sickness and everybody loves. And, you know, I mean, at some point we're going to get there, but I can't do this with the denial of the shadow, because the shadow for me is when, you know, at some point we must feel all of this pain we have inflicted due to our unawareness. Because, see, I am very clear that I am first unaware, becoming aware. So the pain that I feel in my integration of aspects and the pain that I feel when I'm doing this work is basically what I inflicted, maybe this lifetime, maybe, you know, whatever, several other lifetimes. But if you want to truly watch someone ascend, watch them take in their pain. Because the pain is actually our own light. Now, and I'm not saying put yourself in a situation that, you know, don't stand in front of a train and go, Goldie told me to ascend by feeling my pain. You know, I don't want this taken out of context here. The context is I'm always speaking about emotions. Just like it was so clear to me, my brother could not face that his dark history and his dark aspects, that which he denies, and believe me, he is denying a lot, wouldn't even let him, you know, he could not see that the boy next door didn't trash his car, that it was actually the girl he was dating that did that. He could not see that. And his response to everything when me and my dad try to talk to him is all he does is scream. I mean, that's, he goes from 0 to 19 octaves, you know, immediately he's screaming, which is, you can feel it. It's like this defense mechanism of, you know, I'm vulnerable, I'm scared, and I have this wall around me. Don't come in. So, you know, for me, the ascension, the space of going beyond the impossible, that is, it's available to us, and that to me is now we're doing the real talk, because I want to go to the space and the frequency where cows, nothing is murdered or slaughtered. I can't be happy. I'll be honest. I see trees when I went to a workshop in Mount Shasta up by you, Michelle, and I saw the trees in truckloads versus truckloads of these trees lying down and, you know, being cut off. You know, they were cut down, lying in the back of a big Mack truck trailer, and they look like concentration camp victims. I mean, that was that was the energy I saw in those tree trucks that were just, and then as you're driving through, you know, the plains, you see plains of trees cut down. I mean, just with these stumps that are left. I mean, it just looks like a war zone. I mean, that's how I saw it. That's how I felt it. It's how I experienced it. And so when I say I'm going for the impossible, because, you know, it's a tough place to come into this dimension. I know it serves a purpose. I'm not saying there isn't value here. But if we're gonna genuinely ascend to where everything is aware of everything, shoot for the impossible, because it's not in, you know, Handbook 101 where it's all about love and light. We really must take responsibility for that which we have inflicted. We must take back in, because that's what will turn into the compassion that gives us the energy to have an original thought and go, you know, anywhere in the in other words, it's what gives you the momentum to break out of the matrix. That's the ironic part. It's our own pain that will set us free, and that's why the powers that be really have programmed everything so that we run away from the pain.
Yeah.
You know, and me and Janine have a saying: when it gets hot in the kitchen, plant yourself there. Stay there.
Yeah, definitely.
Stay there and morph.
Yeah, well, and you know, ride it out, because it's true that, you know, hanging in their quality and staying with it is, and that is where the transformations take place. And it isn't pretty, you know. It's not supposed to be, you know.
Exactly.
It just isn't. I mean, it's just how it is. And
it's not part of the process. It's pretty, but it is. There's a difference between the pain we experience going down in separation,
mm-hmm,
than the pain we're going to experience coming back up into a unified sense of self. And you know what? The only difference is we know it's the difference.
it's awareness.
That's the difference.
It's the difference between, because when you were describing those trees laying there like victims, like, which I see too, and it's painful for me, or the unconscious treatment of animals.
Ugh.
It is, or, you know, when I say the hot kitchen and stay there and hang in there, it's the conscious decision to go through something, feel it, and come out the other side, as opposed to an unconscious, feel something, unconsciously jump out, go distract yourself, you know, and
Right. Everything,
you know, I don't know if you want to, you know, kid yourself into bliss or, oh, everything's fine. It isn't, you know, it's just get in there, feel it, hang in
Right. There,
be conscious, because that's
Right. It.
You got to be conscious. So, you know, I mean, it is, it's a process that requires strength and stamina.
That's the key. Yes.
I
just have to say one thing. I have to interrupt. I'm sorry. Because what I really want people to understand is the integration of the pain is your own pain, not the world's pain. This is not necessarily about integrating the pain of, you know, people starving in other parts of the world. And I'm not saying that that's not painful. But I'm talking integrate your personal relationships. Integrate your personal, who is it that you want to have revenge on? Who is it that you can't forgive? Because that's when you're going to affect the world. And it is the beauty of Simon and Michelle. us literally working across the world. I mean, Simon's in Norway, Michelle's in Oregon, or no, Washington.
Washington.
I'm in Connecticut, and I literally, when we connect and we have tinglings and hot spots and helmets that are dropping on my head of just massive vibration, I mean, I'm literally getting like, it's like we're, what do they call, acupressure points.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like when we go into that state of oneness that is just in acceptance of everything we are in that moment, that state is literally radiating out even beyond the planet. The whole solar system, the whole cosmos, the whole everything. I mean, literally the whole everything. And we're not sitting there, you know, fighting the good fight against, you know, the Occupy Wall Street or, you know, the dark cabal. Because in my humble opinion, the minute we start getting into that fight, you are that fight. You can't fight something with a fight. You can fight it by integrating it in yourself, because what this whole planet is really in the process of doing, whether we know it or not, is coming back into our own oneness. So we are to be the microcosm for it. Just be the microcosm in your own world, and your world will change. That integration will change the whole world.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That is the process, you know, and then, you know, that's when you sense a presence in someone who's gone into the hot, you know, the heated kitchen, the hot kitchen, and they stay there and they hang in there and they get through it. And, you know, there's a presence that develops in people that do that, and they're not running away from their. And it's not like they're fighting the world out there, like the fight for the, it's their internal process. And you do, you change, and then you, it's like with that saying you have, you can become the change.
Yes.
And that is to me the great work, you know. And it's every day. And, you know, I mean, you know, you've been experiencing it, I have been experiencing it, and I know Michelle and Simon have been experiencing it, and a lot of people I know.
Because it really is. We have the support of the nature, so to say. Nature is doing this. Mother Earth, you know, because, like, one of the things that I don't know how many people recognize, but Earth is expanding. You know, like, you know how they show, you know, that whole, when they go back in history, they move around the continents and they all fit in, you know, back into place. I don't know how they fit in. Geography isn't my strong suit. But I've always thought that, you know, it was basically taught that, you know, the reason why they left is...
Split apart?
Correct. And they split apart.
Yeah.
It was initially taught that they split apart because of volcanoes moving plates. Well, a few weeks, months, I don't know, back then, I posted a video that the guy literally showed it, the whole planet is expanding. And it's not from platelets, but almost like a balloon. Like the whole planet is expanding. And every time it expands, it fills up with water. And then I hear George talk about it, and he goes, you know, people don't realize that the planet is expanding, because I know that, you know, from our limited conditioned consciousness, we have the sense that the planet won't go through major changes for millions of years. But, you know, if we could just see how limited we are, we can also flip it and go, you know, you start gathering pieces through your intuition that are showing you that there is so much deep change going on. I mean, like Mr. Comet watched show today, he goes, do you know that we're not part of the Milky Way galaxy? We're not in the Milky Way galaxy? Did you know that?
No.
We're in a sub-galaxy called the Sagittarian galaxy. And I didn't know that either, actually. And in 2012, what's happening is that's when we're in alignment with the Milky Way galaxy, the galactic. So I'm laughing going, I remember being taught we're a part of the Milky Way galaxy. Well, guess what? We're not. And, you know, go to CometWatch.com. In fact, after the thing, I'll post two videos, where one where he talks about it and one where he mentions it again. I'll post them both. And the reason why I'm saying these things is because when we start getting to the point where, like me and Janine say all the time, we're very comfortable going, oh, I didn't know that, and not being completely tied to, but it can't be true because I was told we're part of the Milky Way galaxy. God damn it. That means we're part of the Milky Way galaxy. Don't you even come near me with any information telling me we're not part of the Milky Way galaxy. It's like we have to get open that, like, 99.999% of the stuff we were taught was not true. I mean, it's like, and I know it's scary, but what's more scary is, as Mr. Comet Watch, as George, as Carolyn May, there is a preparation that the body already knows. See, the body knows the changes we're going through. But if we can help the mind get into the alignment with what the body already knows, then you'll find that resistance is not futile. Resistance is easy because you'll have infinite trust that your soul is guiding you, that there is no death. There's only a transformation of another sense of sensory perception. You know what I'm saying? It's like all of a sudden the things that need to take place within us will take place. And it, boy, am I fired up today.
you know what I think? You know
what I think? I totally want to know what you think.
I think that this is why you were feeling that way, because this was the expression and the dialogue you were getting ready to have. Because to me, about 5 minutes ago, I'm going, this is what that was about. These things were meant for you to say, and this is moving energy. That's what I think.
Oh, I see.
Because I
right
can just
on,
tell.
Babe. Thank you.
I can just tell you are. You know, you're expressing thoughts that are, you know, deep. And
yeah.
So you know.
And I want everyone to get it. I really do want everyone to get it. And because not because I consider it. You know, you got to listen to Goldie. It's just making sense. Where it's. I know there's. There's a drive in me that we can do this. I mean, and we can do this not with minimal pain, but with maximum clarity of why we are doing what we're doing. Because I'm not going to paint you a picture and say it's going to be a pain-free experience, because that's a lie. Mm. Just like the cows are feeling pain when we slaughter them. The trees are feeling pain when we cut them down. Listen, pain is a part of this experience, but it doesn't have to be something that is not beneficial. Because also, all the animal communicators that I've ever dealt with, from, you know, personally and on the show, they're all like, the animals were completely okay with coming to this planet as a food source for us. So it wasn't the pain that makes it so bad. It's the sheer indecency of how we treat them. That's when it's like, you know, when the Native Americans or hunters, you know, when they shoot to kill and they take out the heart and they raise it up to the sky and you know, become one with the spirit. It's like, that's what this is about. But we have been conditioned to run from our pain because. And I keep coming back to this because God knows it's the key. It is the golden key to awareness, to self-empowerment, to sufficiency, to all of it that and it's inside us. Nobody can give this to us. And that's why it's not about somebody else inflicting pain. This is not about, you know, sadist masochists and I mean, that's a whole other show, and Goldie really doesn't play in that area. This is about our own pain being allowed to be experienced. That is the pain that I'm speaking of. And really, at this point, do we really have to go far to know what it is
that we're, you know, that is wanting to come into our being right now, and that maybe we're not really wanting it to be hit there. I don't think any of us have to, walk around in the total.
You mean aspects of ourselves that want to be integrated? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. That bring with it pain.
Yeah.
Associated with pain.
The pain is an awareness that there are aspects of ourself that want to be integrated.
Yes.
So if you can just sort of, invite that and just that's why that the hanging in there quality is really good, because we said this before, but through that, come these gifts of awareness, liberation, consciousness, because
it'll come in waves.
And I know this sounds all like, oh, that sounds great, but the truth is in the experience. So, we could say it and say it till the cows come home, but it's all about experience. So that's where I say hang in there, and that's the experience. And another thing that I love is what you were saying was I have found it to be so true that to flip what has been taught is pretty accurate. It's like it's literally the opposite of what we were told, and so the belief systems, I find that I'm excited, and I find that fun to get rid of the old limited belief systems. I just, it's so liberating. It's so exciting. It's like the consummate explorer, but I really do love that. And when you realize all a belief that you have sort of been told and you bought into your whole life, and then it just literally evaporates in front of you, it's amazing. And I know people experience
totally.
It. So that's just another great place where, like you said, the impossible, but I'm so loving letting go of the belief systems that are fabrications, whether intentional or not, they're still fabrications. So
totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
It doesn't matter to me whether they're fabricated or not. Intentional or not, they're still fabrication. So getting rid of them, every perspective just completely shifts like the domino effect when you let go of these limited beliefs and you hang in there in the hot kitchen and you ride it out. Because when you've come through the other side, everything starts to sound, look, feel different, and it's because your awareness, your consciousness is just more accurate or something, So
well, it's presence. It's a tangible experience.
Yeah.
Presence is tangible.
Yeah.
One of the things I noticed last night when I was at the bonfire was both Scott was the father's name, and Logan is the son's name. Yes, imagine that. Goldie meets another Scott. What's in a name? There are no coincidences. One of the things that I was very clear, and they made it very clear, they both kind of like, they both kept saying, wow, you're just so cool. We're just like really hanging out with you. And I'm not saying this, to toot my own horn. I'm saying that I could totally tell they felt presence. I mean, I know that this is what I'm saying I'm far from being complete on my integration. Far from it. But I'm clearly in a space where I'm not resisting it, because I do know the benefits once the integration takes place, that it literally becomes a magnetic field. It becomes a magnetic charge. I think anyways. But I know it's tangible, and I know when people are in your field, they're aware of it. Definitely people who have not done integration are aware of it, and it'll come up in two ways. They're either going to be incredibly drawn to you, or they're going to think that you're basically, the Antichrist. But again, I was happy. My neighbors, you know, they were drawn to it. You know, they gave me a pair of earrings. They gave me this chain. They gave me drinks. They wanted to give me dinner. I mean, they were so kind and so nice. And or Punky. I mean, Punky felt it. Punky spelt. And you know, it really, I believe it's what the planet really needs is at this point. The planet, because what I think we're beginning to feel too is the planet's presence. Earth is making her presence known, and it's not that she's, you know, doing negative, you know, getting karmically cleared, you know, for places that are dark, and you know, I mean, in other words, I'm not expecting, you know, something to happen to Washington D.C., but it's not going to happen, you know, maybe to Maryland, because you know, but I do believe that her presence is along with the sun. It's becoming known, and you know the truth is that will trump our illusions. Their presence is real. What's present in each and every one of us is what's real, and our illusions, our fears, our judgments, our all the stuff that the ego, our insecurities. It's part of this dimension, but it's not who we are. In fact, me and Janine, I think we talked about this last week, that I have this like realization that the reason we came to this whole experience, third dimensional experience, is because, you know, if we were beings that knew everything about ourselves and we were in total presence, what would be one of the greatest things we could do to experience? And that would be to forget that we were totally unified beings and we're totally present. In other words, you know, I brought this up to Greg in North Carolina, Greg, and you know, he was like, "No, that's just wrong." He was like, "Well, then it just sounds like you're greedy. If you're already there, why would you come someplace to have to forget it?" And I was like, "For the experience, what would it be like to completely?" And he doesn't see the value of the experience, because, and this is one of the telltale signs to let you know when someone's in duality. In duality, everything must be right or wrong. It must be on one side or the other. But in presence, it's being at the center of the paradox, which means you can be right, you can be wrong, it doesn't even matter. You're more impressed with the experience.
Yes.
That's why everything that you're inspired to do comes from a total, I mean, I could go down to North Carolina and fail miserably. I mean, and come back home if that might be the case. And I would have no regrets about doing that. I have to prove anything to, I just want to experience going down to North Carolina. Now, of course, my hope is that I can, you know, make a life for myself down there. But if I can't, you know, I remember when it was, the question came up in Buffalo, home or homeless? And believe me, I did not want to come home. Me and my father did not get along when I had left. But I'm not stupid. I don't want the experience of homeless. I really don't. So I'll go and face my quote-unquote emotional demons with my father, and I came home. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to, you know, point out that if you're in the duality, you're not going to understand how you could be here for an exquisite vacation in limitation. That's how my friend... the reconnections guy, I can't think of his name right now.
Oh, yeah. I should know too, but I forget.
Yeah. A vacation in limitation is what any being would do. Well, who is it?
Eric Pearl.
Not Eric Pearl. Oh, not that reconnections. This guy channels the reconnections. But Eric Pearl is reconnections. Good job, Eric. Yeah, I can't think. I'll think of his name. I'll go to my friends list. But as I'm unifying, I'm literally, the unification is simultaneously taking me out of the matrix. And when I say take me out of the matrix, just in the sense of that I believe all that it's taught. You know, the conditions are part of the matrix. The being in the center of the paradox is going beyond the matrix. And knowing that to be a valid space to experience, quite valid, actually. Even though
there's going to be some pain involved in getting there. See, this is where it's the paradox. You know, everybody's painting the picture. You will, in order to get where you want to go, you want it to be all about joy and love and cotton candy. And it's like, well, but that just keeps you swimming in a fishbowl. You're never going to get out of the paradox. I mean, out of the matrix.
Well, yeah.
Because that's a matrix way of thinking, that it's only going to feel good. In order, you know, I mean, are we getting redundant?
Like,
am I getting redundant?
Like Joanne said a couple weeks ago, it's about opportunity. You see it as opportunity. You see it as challenge, the experience, and, you know, not poor me or, oh, this happened to
right.
me. You know, it's
exactly.
But, you know,
exactly.
I also know that you can become more aware of that the self-critic, when the self-critic jumps in and is up, then, you know, you're kind of in a bit of trouble, because that's when you start judging yourself and I'm
right.
a failure. And it's not about that, you know.
Right.
I mean, I have grown so much from massive amounts of rejection. And
right on. Right on.
Yeah. And it really, like, I look back now and go, that was so great. That happened so many times, and it really, like, it kind of just, all the I need to look good, I need to be successful, I need, what my perception of all that looked, when you get rejected, say professionally or personally, you know, it's an opportunity to really go, what, you know, what that's not even who I am anyway. And but you wouldn't know it if every time, you know, you oh, yes, yes, yes. It's actually, it was much richer, much more valuable to be rejected and learn what I learned. And,
right.
And it's, yeah, I mean, it sounds so crazy to say it's great.
Well, no, but it doesn't when you're out of the matrix. It does
right.
when you're in
then,
the matrix.
Then,
that's the
you know,
point.
It's like, yeah, and I always equate it to sort of digging in the dirt, and you're like, wow, look what I found, you know? And
right.
yeah, so yeah, I think that you can learn a lot from rejection interpret it very differently than what society interprets all this stuff
exactly.
as.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
You know, and yeah, so this is an area where I can speak a lot about.
Well, and I think anyone that's on the Ascension plan, which is pretty much everybody listening to the show, it's about understanding that initially, you know, as we're going through this stuff, it's going to feel counterintuitive. It's going to feel
mm-hmm.
counterintuitive for me not to be running around like a chicken with my head cut off trying to get a nanny gig to make the money, you know. I mean, because it was so interesting, you know, once the night that the whole North Carolina opportunity came up, the following day, this amazing person, you know, emailed me from the site looking for a nanny gig part-time until March. And in all honesty, I think I kind of screwed that one up, because I was so eager to go to North Carolina that I basically said, oh, I don't know, you know, if I can work till March. I can only work till February, which, you know, clearly I had, you know, some kind of, from my own perspective, I had some entitlement issues going on there. And, you know, I really probably screwed that up. And, but part of me is also like, in all honesty, the work, the play that I've been doing with Simon and Michelle, I'm really getting the sense that I would like to work with people more like that. I want to work on journeying with people. I want to be able to help people kind of touch their imagination string. I'm visualizing
mm-hmm.
it like a guitar string
mm-hmm.
because, in my humble opinion, that's where genius is.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it because I'm experiencing my own genius playing with these guys.
Yeah.
And we're halfway across the blooming
that.
World. I mean, this is not about space. I mean, it's like,
well, see, that's the upside down stuff. That's the flip it stuff. That is, you just hit gold there. You know, that is the vein
yeah.
of gold. That is enormous value. So, you know, that you know, that's it. I mean, that's success to me. You know, and that is. I mean, and that's what you're feeling, because that's where, I think that's where you're being called, that's where you're being drawn. You are great at that. And, you know, that's kind of the irony of it all, that, you know, we think we're supposed to be doing something and we are actually doing what we're meant to do. I mean, and right? I mean, you're already doing it.
Totally. Well, because, you know, it's, I'm so big on walk your talk, Goldie, you know, and, you know, to say on the air, and as you guys have heard, you know, I said, when you say things on radio, I swear there's something, I don't know, there's some kind of amplification, I think, because, you know, several people are, you know, we're doing this in group community kind of, you know, and like I said, I'm more than happy. You guys want to call in, 646-929-2084. You're always welcome to call in, always. But by saying this stuff on the air, you know, that I want to live the impossible, you know, it means I can't just take the job the way I used to take. I have to be willing, you know, to kind of step out on a ledge. I mean, I would imagine it's what every hawk and baby eagle and any bird that flies for the first time experiences. You know, they're raised and they grow and, you know, inevitably you gotta jump out of the nest and fly. I mean, because I just, that sense in me, that sense of excellence, I know I can do this. I just don't know how to do this. You know,
Pardon? You already are. That's what's so, that's so apparent.
Okay, so this is where everybody needs a wonderful reflection. Serious, because Jeanine tells me this all the time, and I'm like, really? Because from my perspective, you know, I'm basically running around, you know, doing a lot of talking and not, you know, doing a lot of moving. But facing fears and making choices that are based on the impossible, not the probable, so to speak. And so, and I wrote that down as one of the things that it's very important for us to have someone out there acknowledging and supporting this way of being, because society will clearly look at us and go, loser, you guys are a losers. I mean, myself, or what? You know, you're not working, you're not contributing, and yet, like I said, I know my life is changing. I know Simon and Michelle's lives are changing. You know what I'm saying? I know I'm involved in genuinely working and playing with people who are just exploring ourselves. I mean, because it's not about us, you know, pumping each other up. It's about kind of going, okay, as sovereign beings, you come in sovereign, I'll come in sovereign. We go into this state of being, and then it's almost like in that state of being, all of Simon's experiences and all of Michelle's experiences, I have access to from, like, that universal mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a genius that I believe is what Nassim Haramein taps into, what Einstein tapped into, what Edgar Cayce tapped into. You know, in other words, it's available to all of us.
That's
but,
right.
You know, if we're running around like chickens with our head cut off with a to-do list to do, you know, well, when are you going to really sit down and tap into that inner genius?
Yeah.
You know, pardon?
No, it's so amazing that you said that, because literally, I just had on my screen one of my favorite words for the last 10 years is noetical, and it's the noetical mind, which is a higher mind in the kind of like in the before form, but it's in the creative all mind. And you just said it. I mean, I'm literally looking at it, and you just said it. And that is
Now, to be honest, I know I'm babbling all about Simon and Michelle, and I love you guys, but I have it with Jeanine, too. Me and Jeanine have never been physically in the same room, physically in the third dimension in the same room. And there it is. I mean, you know, this is we should be schooling all of us on this stuff, you know, because somebody's got to have the guts to be the pioneers and the explorers And I get it. We're going to make our mistakes. But remember, it's not about the right and the wrong and the good and the bad and whether – it's about the experience, and then we can tweak it, and then we can go through another experience, and then we can tweak it. Because inevitably what's going to happen is we're going to show that the impossible is the truth. It really is who we are.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen divinely to all of us involved because it really is it's a sense of community, but I'm very conscious about saying that because I me and Janine talk about that. There are other communities where, in my humble opinion, they don't promote the exploration of self as much as they promote, I can't do it without you, so you're there with me, right? And it's like, yeah, I'll be there because I can't be alone either. It's like, that's not the kind of community I resonate with.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can describe it better. I don't know if I described that clearly, but community for me is about, I just want to hang out with geniuses.
You did. It's, no, there's, you know, you're a sovereign being, and then, you know, the communication that we have that's, it's telepathic, it's intimate, it's archetypal, it's, you know, it's
feelings too. It's empathic,
but it's not
as well.
It's a
feeling
out of an insecurity or, you know,
right.
You know, so that you are coming from a place of sovereignty, and it's also a good place to notice, you know, am I coming from a place of sovereignty, you know, because that's where. To me, that's where the best work is done. And, you know, and that's a good practice about being sufficient because you want to ask yourself, do I feel sufficient in this relationship, you know, where you are? You're a sovereign being, and yet you're all playing in this incredible field of telepathic, you know, unity. You know, so it's, again, it's being sovereign in a unified field. I mean, it is the both end kind of thing. But it
right.
and for me, I experience it. You experience it. So, you know, it. I mean, I think that's what you have to do. You have to experience it.
Well, because once it's experienced, you might not have the. Because remember what Carolyn Mace was saying? Mm-hmm. She talked about that wall, and you get to the wall because you don't have the language.
Yes.
The vocabulary ends, and it's like. But at least once you have the experience, you'll say, shit, let's make up words. I don't care.
Yeah.
Because if the vocabulary ending is what the wall is, once we experience it, no one can take that from us. There is not a power that be. There is not a reptilian, an Orion, and anything that can take that experience from us. That's another very powerful space to be. I am sovereign. I am connected. I know I'm beyond impossible. I just don't quite know how to get there. It's I've had enough connections in my presence to let me know that it goes beyond my wildest dreams. It's just a matter now of living it out on a daily basis. And do I get insecure? Absolutely. Absolutely. I was insecure today, and, you know, that's when you call your best bud, who's your self-reflection, and you say, you know, can you just tell me what you're seeing, because I'm seeing some, you know, some dark stuff. And it's not about lying to each other. It's like, well, you know, you're walking your talk, and have you integrated? Okay, then everything's going good. You know, it's so wild. Once you get the things in place, you know, the only thing left is actually experiencing it, which is absolutely challenging. Absolutely. Hands down, feet up. It's challenging.
but it's amazing because you were cleaning the house and found something you wanted to burn under the bed, and you wouldn't have found it unless you cleaned the house, and you decided to walk across the street to burn what you were burning, and then the next thing you know, you had these conversations, you know, and so...
No, exactly.
It's the unfolding, and these are so simple, but they're happening every day. Every day,
yes.
You know?
Yes,
you know,
yes.
We clean a drawer out, we find something, it evokes a thought, you know, next thing you know, 3 days later, you've integrated an aspect of yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody clean out the drawers.
Well, and I'll tell you, for me, you know, I know some people, because I got the sense, Michelle, you love to clean. I'm not a big fan of I love to clean. I'm pretty lazy, actually, and I'm honest about that when it comes to cleaning. But I did find that, I mean, I connected with the energy of my house. I mean, I clean, we have these two crank out windows. Exactly. We have these two crank out windows on my in front of my kitchen sink that leads out to our porch.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the gas grill like a foot away from these windows, and you know, my mom died 11 years ago. I think truly it was 11 years that we had cleaned them. I mean, it's just the porch. It's just the way it was around here. And when I cleaned the house, I mean, I literally had to pull a chair, put my legs in the sink, and clean these things. But when I cleaned them, there really was an epiphany of, like, you know, clarity is just a matter of, you know, getting rid of that which is in the way. I can't tell you, like, how different. The whole kitchen looks so much cleaner. Because I did, you know, 10 minutes of Windex on both sides of the window. And I mean, and it's funny because, like, I have a big thing about, you know, I don't like killing spiders and stuff. But I'll be honest with you. When I was cleaning the kitchen, I went, listen, I love you guys. I'm giving you 24 hours. I'm cleaning the kitchen tomorrow. You guys can get out or you guys are going to see your makers. I'm letting you know. I gave them time and I, you know. I mean, I was cleaning spider little pocket, you know, the little, I mean, because all I ever hear is, you know, from that amazing pig, you know, Charlotte's Web. I'm like, it's Charlotte, for God's sakes, I'm killing Charlotte. And who knows if it's a magical spider I'm killing. But they're really, the clarity that I got, and then when I found the last booklet of, you know, the things I had to burn, when it came down to walking across the street, I'll be honest with you, that did not come easy for me. I mean, I have a tendency, I don't socialize with my neighbors. I mean, it might be because, you know, I sold drugs for 12 years, you think? You know, maybe. I'm not exactly doing the things that neighbors want. You want your neighbors to know you're doing. Now, that's not today, but it basically, it took on a role for me that I'm courteous to my neighbors. You know, if I drive by, I wave, or, you know, I mean, I smile at them, I say hi. I don't get to know them, though, because, you know, my whole philosophy is, if I don't know you, we can't get into a fight, therefore you won't hate me, and therefore, you know, well, there's no reason to be my enemy. If I never get to know you, there's no reason for you to be my enemy. And where I live, you know, I, like I said, hey, I'm 46. I've been in and out of this house pretty much all my life. Yeah, I've been here a long time. And I don't have any enemies. And Goldie knows enemies come very easily when you're playing around in the impossible. God knows. Anyways, but last night it really did hit me. It was like, venture out. Venture out to your bloody neighborhood. Jesus, Goldie, they're right across the street, and they have a dog in a fire pit, and you have something to burn. And, I mean, and the truth is, I'm really realizing today it is time for me to venture out. I think North Carolina has to do with that. I think me being more open to people, I'm ready for that. I'm ready to in general, open up, because I know I'm, you know, Simon and Michelle are clearly opening up to me. I'm opening up with them, but I'm also opening up. I want to start opening up, you know, face to face with people. I want to experience more intimacy in my life, intimacy with people, because for the first time in my life, people actually respond to the presence. I mean, I've wanted that all my life, but I'll be honest with you. I can feel that they feel it, and they're responding in kind, and I'm like, okay, now I can play with people now, because it's not all about, because I'll be honest with you, I was almost delusional thinking, you know, back in the day when I was a total mess going, why can't everybody appreciate what I'm doing? It's like, well, truly, Goldie, what the hell were you doing? I mean, I was just a mess. But I had this knowingness in me. Now it's not just it's not just in my head. My cells, because of the ability to integrate my light / pain, there is a presence about me that I'm just not rough. My feathers don't get ruffled so easily. And I think people know that. And to go out now when people are in their most chaotic and in their most, well, you know, it's interesting. One of the things Scott said to me, he goes, I really like you. And I was like, you know, that's cool. He goes, want to know why? And I was like, sure. And he goes, because I see a lot of plants in your windows and you have the bird feeders. He goes, and those are really two, you know, those are really two qualities about a person. I mean, that damn near floored me. I was like, wow, that's something I would say. You know, like, you know, I'm starting to realize my neighbors have presents too. Imagine that. The world is becoming present, and it's not just in Norway and Washington and Jersey. You know, right there, 15 feet across the street. I mean, I don't know, that just feels pretty wonderful, if you ask me. You know, just pretty wonderful.
Yeah, I love that cleaning window story.
I do.
Aw,
it's so great. No, it's just so, you know, it's like when you saw the wind that carried the leaves and you said the unknown.
Right.
What do we call that? What we don't see, the hidden, but it's really 99% of what's out there. You know, 1% is the matter we do see. But, you know, the window cleaning story is the leaves on the unseen story. It's so rich in, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is. It's just, it's great. It's
yeah.
Great.
Well, it's almost like, I mean, what Carolyn May said about splitting the atom. You want to share about that?
Yeah, 1944. Yes, I think that would be good.
You share. I'm doing
well,
way too
I think
much talking.
I, you know, you're, well, I don't mind sharing it, but catch me if I don't say it exactly correct.
No. Trust, you're fine.
Carolyn Mace, we both listened to something she gave in Morocco, which was incredible, online. And she spoke about an important time, because I'm going to take you all back to a time in 1944 when Oppenheim split the atom. And it was the first time, you know, on this plane that the atom was split in this, you know, the history
in this dimension.
In the history that we know in this dimension, right. And at that point, it pretty much on a mass consciousness way and in this plane split every atom existing, because one is affected by everything. And from then on, we were living in two dimensions. And that created an awareness, but also probably a shift. And then, and by the way, the awareness of the two dimensions, one does not really blend beautifully with the other. So it is a challenge. And, you know, there is this conflict. So, you know, she did say that. Do you remember saying that it wasn't easy? When you started to sense these two dimensions, like to make sense out of it. But, yeah, so just speak, because I'm kind of forgetting after that than what she said or how that affected.
Because I don't remember her saying that it was difficult, but I do remember, I mean, everything you said was beautiful, because what she really wanted us to get was that when he split that atom in
yeah.
everything, in every physical dimension split. And she kept saying, now, just to have a mystical experience, can you just allow that to come into your being? Allow that. When Oppenheimer split the atom, there wasn't one atom. It literally split every atom, which essentially put us, what I got from the message is, it was the first real break out of the matrix. Because she said after that point, or let me say, up to that point, life was moving in a very linear succession. Everything seemed to make sense from hour to hour and day to day and month to month. That's how we progressed. But once he split it, all bets are off from the linear, because it was literally the split of the matrix.
Oh,
we unleashed ourselves from the matrix, and so now all of a sudden we are in a world of, well, everything is upside down. And she said literally Oppenheimer turned the world upside down,
right?
Which
means logic no longer
is applicable. Go ahead.
Yeah, and simultaneously, at that one point, everyone and everything were living in two dimensions. We were now, we were both here and we were both in the other dimension. And that's amazing. And that is
truly
that's the mystical experience that she's talking about, where can you just take that in? And, you know, I believe, and I just kind of got this, but since that time, now it's, well, we were in two dimension, now it's three dimension, you know what I mean? Now it's four. I mean, we're in multi-dimension. I think since that time, how many times since then have they been, you know, splitting more atoms and splitting whatever, and we're way past 1944 living in two dimensions now, I believe. You know,
exactly.
Yeah. And so that was a beginning or a shift or an awakening or, you know, and it is amazing because one atom meant all atoms. So
exactly.
And that's
when we kind of got to get to the work that we're doing from our integration point of view. Every time we integrate, the whole thing is integrating. Another piece of everything is integrating.
Right, that explains the exponential acceleration for all of us. Because as one integrate, right, so that's actually really a great point. That and she did speak about that as well, and of course all of us are feeling it, that there is this exponential acceleration of awareness, of getting it, of integration, of moving through things, of being telepathic. Of, you know, you're thinking the same thing I'm thinking, we're sharing it, then we, you know, go supernova because we just can't help it.
Because we like it. We like it.
And then we're living in 1,000 dimensions because we're all sitting.
Exactly.
Because we have exploded.
And I just want people to know, too, if you want to know more about acceleration, George speaks a lot about that in his talks.
Yeah.
Very in tune with because it is actually time that is accelerating. And I guess that's kind of what the Carl Kalman, I'm not sure I agree with everything that he was writing about the Mayan calendar, but he did show that every progressive cycle got shorter. And the reason why it got shorter is because there was an acceleration going on in each cycle. You know, and at this point, according to Carl Kalman, we're not even following the Mayan calendar. You know, no, October 28th was the last day, so.
And that makes
I don't
sense
necessarily
to me.
Believe
that makes sense to me that we've already superseded that boundary. And, you know.
Exactly. In
that
fact,
really
in 1944, the moment it happened.
Yeah, and also. You want to remember that at the same time that there's incredible acceleration, there's also this it's outward and inward at the same time.
Absolutely. Compression. Yes.
Yeah, it's like in the black hole, out the white hole. But, you know, so that's another incredible comprehension that it takes another moment to sort of absorb it and go, okay, you know, inward and outward. It's expanding and it's going inward as quickly as it's expanding, and I think those are amazing concepts. And you know, that's why I love that Nassim DVD, and I got that for my web guy as a gift.
Oh, nice!
If he's listening, I ruined the surprise. But anyway, yeah, it's amazing.
Nice.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, and,
so,
you know, again, this is, remember, the compression is taking stuff back in, you know, feeling the pain, feeling it all. But when we know that it's part of the whole system,
Mm-hmm. And remember, this is a system that goes beyond just our cosmos. This is that's one of the greatest gifts George gave us, was he gave us the how it works. You know, he gave us the soul comes in from the ninth dimension, and then it starts being physically manifest in the seventh dimension, and then the fifth dimension is basically duality, but it's still duality that's, you know, you look at it and go, you know, you're just kind of disagreeing with people. But when you drop into the fourth and the third, okay, now we're talking duality on a whole new scale. And it's like by understanding these things, we can understand how to go back up this system. Even though I don't think it's necessarily going back up as opposed, you know, in the sense of like we're being birthed out of this system. I mean, that is, so it's really, it's not about, you know, it's like when you're a baby, you know, in order to get birth, you don't go back up in the umbilical cord. The umbilical cord feeds you, and then inevitably, you're big enough and you're, you know, you're ripe, like a fruit, and you come out. So the compression is part of the birthing. I mean, and it's about, you know, kind of gathering our pieces back up, I believe, so we have enough light quotient to actually experience the fifth dimension, because I think it's important to continue to be aware of whatever it is that the compression is giving us. It is all about self. Nothing is outside of us. The pain is not something. Nothing. It looks like the powers that be are conflicting this pain on us, but that's only because we hired them to play in this game, because remember, this is all a game where we pretend to go into limitation. So things have to pretend, so to speak, to be our enemies in this dimension. But once we get into the fifth dimension, we'll realize it's all us. It's just us getting pieces back of ourselves, and they were the roles that we chose to play to get that piece back into ourselves. In other words, something has to piss us off in order to trigger us to feel that feeling. And it's almost like when we have that feeling, the aspects go, oh, I recognize that frequency. I can slip in that frequency and then become one with me again. You know, it's, I think there's a lot to it that we don't understand, and myself included. Yeah. That's why trust is, me and Janine truly do speak. I mean, I know from, without knowing all of Janine's total history of what she's gone through, I can feel Janine is an integrated being. I can feel it in her. I mean, and I think you can feel it in everybody. And the truth is, you can feel it in yourself when, you know, when people start dropping things like, you know, Greg dropped to me that, you know, he's all about going for a new relationship and with some girl truck driver. And he told me that, and I went, okay. Well, I'm still coming down to North Carolina to live in your house and, you know, go have your relationship with your truck driver friend. And, like, normally that would have tripped me up from here to eternity. But right. The integration tells me, like, you know what? Greg's got to experience what he's going to experience. I'm going to experience what I'm going to experience. And I know I'm integrating when I'm not getting tripped up. But listen, again, if it did trip me up, that it just means it's something I need to integrate. It's like we got to stop judging being triggered as a negative.
Right.
Look at the trigger as a, okay, here we go again. It's time to integrate.
And it came up for a reason so you could integrate it. And the thing is you noticed that you didn't get triggered, so that just meant, oh, okay, I did some real good integration like
exactly.
2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. But, you know,
exactly.
there's something that I'm really learning more about talking to you and then following things that you're saying. And it's good to share, for me to share this with people, because it's a really great practice. And it's when you're comprehending something and you're following, say, something Goldie's saying or anybody, or you're following your own thought into a place of kind of expansion or beyond what you thought you believed in, when you notice that you've gone as far as you can and you sort of hit this sort of boundary or wall, I think that is so amazing, because it's so visceral that I go, oh, okay, I just hit a boundary. I've just hit a wall of understanding. And then, you know, I don't force it, but it just means that, you know, there I am at this boundary, which, of course, I always, now that we were just talking, I almost imagine it, it's like at the boundary of the universe that's expanding, but knowing that it won't be long before I go beyond that boundary. That boundary
right
goes
on.
Further
right
for me. But why I'm explaining it to you is not, it's because you literally can actually start feeling this. Like, and it's so, I don't know, it's just fun because it's like a practice, or, you know, you just sort of sense, oh, I just went as far as my comprehension will go, and then it'll go, and then all of a sudden, for some whatever reason, you'll start, you know, whether it's a day or 2 hours, or you'll start to sense the boundary is dropping or expanding, and it's just an amazing thing that
awareness, definitely.
It's just been happening. It's been happening as you and I have been in, you know, I guess what you'd consider great dialogue. You know,
right on.
Yeah. So right, I think that if, you know, just for listeners to like kind of check that out for themselves, like, oh, I hit a boundary. You know, I
right. And instead of right, instead of saying, okay, then that means my truth ends there.
It doesn't.
I mean, I'm assuming, it doesn't. It's just
no,
where you are in the moment, just in the moment. You know,
and I'll tell
be
you,
willing
and I'll tell
to
you
explore it
that
through imagination. Be willing to explore it through synchronicities,
mm-hmm.
because I mean, what a beautiful awareness to bring up. I mean, there's only 3 minutes left of the show. We'll definitely
aww
talk more about this, though, because I mean, this is, I think, another. This is one of those key elements.
It is
to living in the time we live in, and really getting the most out of the times we live in, because
yeah,
we've been programmed to be limited, but we're going beyond our own program. And that is, you know, essentially, it's almost like, have you ever watched anything in, because I took early childhood, I saw, you know, I learned a lot about birthing from a physical standpoint, you know, like the whole gestation period. And
yeah,
I don't know how many people know this, but birth itself, the birth of a child, literally takes about 17 million miracles to happen. If you looked at it scientifically, it should never take place,
mm-hmm.
because there's so many obstacles that have to be overcome in order for everything to be put in place for a child to be born. Now you'd go, you got to be kidding me. You know, people are having babies all over the planet, and it's like, but that's how science looks at birth. And
yeah,
if you hear those words, that's how we are looking at our own ascension. And yet, you know, keep in mind the paradox. It happened 7 billion times, you know, and counting. So things are, the miracles need to happen, but they will. And they are.
Yeah.
And we have to get our groove and our flow into miracle flow and miracle grow.
Oh, our new sponsor.
and when we do, it, you know, it will really be, you know, we will ride the wave of our lives right now. Literally ride the wave of our lives.
You are.
Yeah, right on. And me and Janine just heard a woman go, 90 seconds. This
oh,
was
no,
a good show,
that,
babe. Oh, you didn't hear it? Okay,
no,
yeah.
No,
yeah, we have 90
it
seconds. So
okay.
I want to make sure you get your contact information on before we go out.
Yeah, because it's been all, it's all fresh.
Updated.
New art. Looks real pretty. It's J L Kimmel, KIMMEL.com. And the art's pretty. Yeah, it's lots of good stuff on there now. I even wrote about initiation art. And I have another website, springtreepress.com. So
nice.
Thanks for listening. And
yeah,
Goldie was great tonight.
I love Janine. I can't do this without you.
All
I
that,
so
all
love
that
you.
Edge, all that edge was just, I bet it's all gone now.
Yeah, totally. totally is. You better be prepared to talk for another hour after the show. Oh, I'm telling you, though, sweetheart, I can't do this without you. Thank you so much for being
here.
And I can tell, you know, just from the help of Michelle, she helps me to understand that she gets things because of the way you understand me. That that's just beautiful. I mean, that is, yeah, it's an amazing, amazing grouping we have here, all of us. And Susan, I was thinking about you. Blessing, Susan. I hope your recovery is going well. Definitely shoot us an email when you're feeling better and let us know how you're doing. And 8 o'clock on Monday nights, Thursday night, 8 o'clock, another reality show, the Mystical Mother Earth Show. Thank you all for being here. It's a pleasure. I can't describe to you how joyful I am that you're all here and sharing this. It's an amazing, amazing, magical mystery tour.
It is.
All right. I love you.
Thank
all.
You.
Well, and Thursday night, Janine's coming. Janine's the guest for Thursday night. So tune in, and we're just going to keep on going. I should have said that before we went. Oh, it's all good. I'll post it anyways. All right.
Okay.
I love you guys.
Okay.
Until Thursday, you guys take care.
Bye.
Love you all. Gotta go.
Bye.
I'm so glad I had
started, and before you know it, come to the time we have to say so long.